Thank you. Tell them it is good you're here. Yeah, go ahead. Tell somebody. Introduce yourself to somebody. Turn around. The person behind you. Say hello. Hello. Man. Does everybody have a good day today? Yeah? Yeah, no, just kind of all right? Dang. Just okay? Is anybody on spring break? All right, so everybody who's on spring break is not here tonight then. Is that what it is? Like, piecing it out? Dang, what's up? Okay, now, I know Redlands District says spring break this 2 weeks, right? And then in 2 weeks, it's San Bernardino District, right? That's right. Where my San Bernardino people at? Whoa, what? And then Ucaipa is somewhere in the middle. And then who else is there? I don't know. I mean, Riverside, Colton, Grand Terrace. Where are my Titans at? Where are my Titans at? Oh, Titans! Dang. That's Jack. Rubidoo, right? No. 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 Colton. Sierra. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, Sierra. Now, Sierra. Told Dr. Smoot what's up. Okay. Well, let's do this. Y'all ready to get in the Word tonight? No, the appropriate answer is yes or yay or woo or scream. Are y'all ready to get in the Word tonight? Thank you. I got to wake some people up tonight. It's getting cold. That happens sometimes. People get cold and creaky. Now, let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and go before the Lord and pray tonight. Then we're going to jump into the Word, get into it. So, Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your Word. We thank you, Father, because this book that's on our laps, God, maybe this book, maybe it's in our phone. God, this book that's going to be up here, Father God, on the overhead screens, Lord God. We thank you because this book is more than a book. It's life. God, it's your Word. It's your letters. It's your heartbeat to ours. So, Father, tonight I pray that it would be more than paper and ink. But, God, tonight as we get into this Word, Lord, it would change us. It would rearrange us. God, it would cause us to see things the way you see things. Father God, that you would cause us, Lord God, to know you and be known by you. That, God, tonight you would speak to us the truth of God. That, Lord, we wouldn't just hear opinions or ideas, but, God, tonight we would hear the truth. God, that we would hear something that would change us from the inside out. That it would cause us to live differently, to see differently. God, to talk differently and to think differently. Because, God, the truth is, everybody in this room, no matter how good we are or are not, God, we're all in need of some type of change inside of us. So, Lord, cause us to leave this place living a life that resembles the life of Jesus. So God, tonight we honor you. And Father, as we pray these things for ourselves, God, we also pray for each and every other youth ministry, even each and every church in the Inland Empire, God, that's talking about Jesus, God, whether it's Emmanuel Baptist or The Way, God, Father, whether it's our Episcopalian brothers and sisters, God, Father, whether they're Baptist, God, Catholic, whatever they are, Lord, if they're talking about you, Jesus, then God, we recognize them as brothers and sisters, and we ask that you'd bless them just as you've blessed us in this house together, as we all work together to make your name known. So God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, let's get into this. Now, it is March, right? We're here all up in March's face, letting it know this is what's going on. And it just so happens that Easter's coming up, right? Let's hear it for Easter. What? Easter baskets. My mom was crazy, man. Because when I was a kid, my mom, my mom just likes to buy gifts, I guess. My mom would actually get us gifts for Easter. It was like Christmas, we get gifts, and then my mom would give us gifts for Easter, too. Remember, I got one of the tightest video games back in 1989. Best Easter ever. I got this video game. It was like, oh, man, I was stoked. but I don't know if you guys work that way, too, but it's not like just like candy. But my mom would like actually give us gifts. It's really weird. I don't know, man. My mom's weird. But that was one of the reasons I loved Easter. But now I love Easter for many different reasons. I love Easter because I know what Easter's all about. Now Easter is one of those things where it's easy to get caught up in other stuff. Or even this. Easter is just like another one of those holidays you do just to get your family over and have a barbecue. But Easter is really a big deal. I mean, Easter is like a really, really big deal. I don't know if you know this, but it's like one of the biggest deals ever. Like ever. Like, you guys know why we celebrate Easter, right? Who wants to tell me? Okay, I know, pop quiz. We celebrate Easter because... I hear Jesus dead, rose dead, dead, no. Okay, okay, okay. Why do we celebrate Good Friday? Thank you, front my front row people, some of you guys in the back. Okay, Good Friday is the day Jesus was crucified. I know, kind of weird, because it's like, Good Friday, crucified. Not really good. But good because it's a Friday. How could a Friday be bad, right? No, okay, and then you have Easter Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. You see, okay, if you, let me go. If you guys got your Bibles, turn to Romans 6. While you're turning to Romans 6, I'm going to read you out of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to save your fingers some moving space here. Turn to Romans 6th chapter. In 1 Corinthians 15, don't get confused, still go to Romans. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, the Bible says this. It says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. It says, if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile. What the Bible tells us right here, as says the most important piece of anything we believe in is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, I don't want to get all doctrine on you, but I am. What is that, Pastor Richard? Well, doctrine, it's what we believe. See, I'm not too sure if you know exactly. You know, we call ourselves Christians, we come to church. But one of the main things that we believe is this word called the resurrection. You see, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then everything we believe is nothing. Everything we believe is hinged around the fact that Jesus is alive. You see, if Jesus is God, and God is Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross, well, so what? Because I'll tell you this, hundreds if not thousands of people died on the cross. Murderers, thieves, liars, traitors. The cross was like the electric chair of the day. Strap them in, turn it on, and let them burn. I mean, no, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but that's what it was. People died on the cross on a daily basis back in Roman society. But something is different about Jesus because of who he is and what he did. You see, the Bible says right here in 1 Corinthians, it says, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then everything we believe doesn't mean anything. But he did. You see, that's why Easter is so important. That's why the Resurrection Sunday that we celebrate is so important. Because the fact that the tomb is empty, the fact that Jesus' sacrifice didn't end on the cross, the fact that he was buried 3 days and rose again, the fact that that happened means that everything he did in his entire life, every ounce of blood that poured out of his body on that cross, every hair that was ripped out of his face when he was being tortured, every whip that he took on his back, every piece of flesh that was torn from his body, the fact that he's alive now makes it worth it. It means the fact that when you pray, God can hear you. Why? Because the tomb is empty. It means that your prayers have answers to them. Why? Because the tomb is empty. Why doesn't a person have to turn to cutting themselves anymore when they're depressed? Why? Because Jesus is alive. And everything he took, every ounce of pain, every sin, every wrong thing we ever did was nailed to the cross and it was left there and Jesus defeated it. You see, that's what the empty tomb means. That's what Easter means. Easter is not something we celebrate with just colored eggs and a cute little bunny that apparently lays these eggs. Explain that one to me. Okay, Easter is something that we live our entire life by. If your life was a boat in a dock, Easter would be the anchor that keeps it from getting lost at sea. See, Jesus is risen. And that word risen is what I want to talk to you guys about for the next few weeks. You guys in Romans? I gave you lots of time. Okay, I'm not there. But in Romans, the 6th chapter, this is what it all talks about right here. Romans 6th chapter, verse 4 and 5. I want to read this. It says this. It says, therefore we were buried with him, Jesus, through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father God, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Because if we've been united together just like in his death, certainly will be in the likeness of his resurrection. What the heck does that mean? This is what it means. It means, well, if Jesus died and rose again, if Jesus put to death death, you see, if Jesus put sin and brokenness and heartache, if Jesus took pain and he put it in the tomb and left it there and he rose again victorious, well, then the same thing had happened for us. You see, Jesus has called us to live life differently. Differently than the way everybody else does. Jesus has called us to live life putting our old sin, our old nature, all the garbage, trash things that we hate about ourselves, because they're there. All the trouble and the drama. Jesus says, look, take that stuff and put it in the tomb. Put it on the cross. Bury it and leave it there. Just like I did. Because you have to die to something before you can be resurrected. The Bible puts it this way. The only way for a seed to grow is to bury it. I mean, I've had seeds in my garage for years. Years, and nothing happened to them. They stayed in a bag for like 5 years. And it wasn't until I took them out of that bag and I put them in the dirt that literally those five-year-old seeds began to grow. It's the weirdest thing in the world. It's like, I guess there's no expiration date on most seeds. I don't know. Like, there is for bread, but not for seeds. But once I buried them, they began to grow. The same thing with your life. Is that there's things in your life that you know that God is calling you out of. You need to bury them. And it's only once you bury the old life that God can do something new inside of your current life. You see, that's what Easter is about. Because the resurrection isn't just for Jesus. Jesus raising from... Look, there's dead parts of our life that God wants to bring back. But it's not until we take them and give them to God, we bury them into the heart of God, that God begins to bring new life out of it. It says we put ourselves into death. Why? So Jesus can raise us up from life again. Because the only way that we can know real life is when we die to ourselves. Let me do this. Take a walk with me to another verse in Philippians, over to the right side of the Bible. Go ahead, just turn a bunch of pages over to the right. In Philippians 3. I know we're doing a lot of flipping here, but I'm gonna get somewhere quick here. See, in Philippians 3, verse 8, I want to read a couple verses for you. So to hang on here, it says, you know, the Apostle Paul writes about the things that we need to do. He says, indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. I count those things as rubbish. That is actually a word that means poop. I can't really say the word it really means, but it's poop, okay? It's nastiness. He says, I count all the things that I've lost as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness, or the right, being right with God, being okay with God, which is from God by faith, that I would know him and the power of his what? This word, resurrection. The fact that he's risen, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed or made like his death. By any means, I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. This isn't just talking about us dying and going to heaven. This talks about every way we live our life. I mean, don't shout me down. Don't just stare at me like a cow staring at a painted fence, because we're going somewhere. I'm not calling nobody cow. I'm just saying, give me that look. I know. Nobody's moving, so all right. What I'm saying is this. Is the Apostle Paul writes this, and he says, look, guys, I've lost things for Jesus. If you're really a Christian, then I think you can say the same thing. I've lost things. There's things I've given up, things I don't do, maybe friends or part of my reputation that I've lost. But he said, everything I have lost, that's all right, because I've gotten so much more. He says, everything I've given up, I've gotten something better. Look, if you have $10 in your wallet, that $10 does nothing really good for you except buy stuff. But the only way to get something from that $10 is to give the cashier your money. You can't get something from them and keep your money at the same time. That doesn't make any sense. Unless you're a thief. But but then you're a thief. You don't want to be a thief. See, it's an exchange. And see, that's what Jesus is talking about. That's what Easter is. It's an exchange for what I have for what God has. I give him my rubbish, my poop. Not my poop, but the idea is this, is our lives are a mess. And we give God our mess of a life, and God gives us everything he has that's amazing. It's bizarre. It's like not even fair. It's not even fair what we give God. I mean, it's like we sing songs and we can't even hit a stinking note. It's like I can't sing for crud. I can't. I know. But I give God my nasty, crackly, garbly voice, and God appreciates that as if I was some type of phenomenal singer. He appreciates it. See, I give him my garbage, and God gives me what's amazing. You see, the Apostle Paul says, he says, I've lost things. I've sacrificed things to God. But everything I've sacrificed, everything I've given away, I don't miss it. Why? Because what God's given me, it's died, but he's given me life. Because I found that the things that I gave away, I never wanted in the first place. He said, I've suffered loss, but it's all rubbish. Why? So I can gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. You see, here's what Jesus is telling us today. This is what I want to talk. This idea of risen, being resurrected, it means that you can live a new life. You can let go of the old. You can let go of the pain. You can let go of the memories. You can let go of the things people have told you, the words that they've called us, the things that you've seen in the mirror that you don't like. I'm saying what happens is this, is when you get rid of the old life, the way everybody else does things, the way this world operates, your flesh, when you put that to death, then God gives you a brand new life. See, God doesn't just pick up your pieces and put them together. God picks up your pieces, he throws them away, and he gives you a whole new set. See, God's just not about fixing. God's about renewal, restoration. God's about giving you a brand new set of life. See, a new life only happens in Christ. See what it says right here. He says, I lost all this stuff. It's all rubbish. Why? Because I gained Christ and I'm found in him. I don't have my own righteousness, which is in the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. He says, he said, my new life is all about Jesus. You see, and that's what we need to do. See, when you die, when you give up, when you're ready to let go of all the drama in your life, it means that all of a sudden you give up all that old stuff, the stuff that you don't want, you give it up, but it means that you have to get Christ. See, that's the only way it works. See, I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, but you see, becoming a Christian, being a Christian, you know, people say, well, God loves us, and God wants to give you new life for free. He doesn't want to give it to you for free because it's going to cost you everything. It means that you don't live for yourself anymore. You live for Jesus. It means that Jesus becomes the center of everything you do. Well, Pastor Richard, that kind of sounds weird. Am I going to be a weird person then? I don't want to be too strange because then I'll have to talk weird. Well, this is what it means. It doesn't mean that you all of a sudden don't be you anymore. But it means all of a sudden everything you do, everything that makes you you, is tied to Jesus. It means you only go where Jesus... This is what it means. You need air to live. You can only go where air is. They were taking a rocket ship and shoot you out of that little trash chute into space. Space would rip your lungs out of your body. It would be gross. I think they, never mind. Anyway, it would be a mess. You cannot survive for a second in the vacuum of space. If they were to take you to the moon and put you on the moon, you cannot go for a walk in the craters. The only way you could do that is if you had a spacesuit with air in it. I mean, let's even be real. You can even try to hold your breath underwater where there is no air, and you could do it for a little bit. But then you start getting all weird and twitchy and panicky. But let's even go to a different level. You don't even like to go places where the air, where there is air, but the air stinks. Like, you know. when your uncle has a little too much, you know, Mexican food. You don't want to be in that room because there may be air in there, but that air stinks. And you don't want none of that stinky air. See, that's exactly what it means when your whole life revolves around Jesus Christ. Hey, wait, hold on a second. Jesus isn't there. I can't go there because Jesus isn't there. Oh, you want me to go where? With Jesus? Then how about I take some Jesus with me there? Because over there is no Jesus. But how about I take some Jesus with me? That way my lungs don't get ripped out of my soul. Because if I go somewhere where there is no Jesus, it's a hostile place. And everything good inside of me will get ripped out of me. And I don't want that. Oh, wait, the people say they have Jesus over there, but it smells bad. I don't think they got the Jesus that I know. Because there's some stinky Jesus over there. And my Jesus ain't stinky. You see what I'm saying? You're still you, but all of a sudden your whole life revolves around who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing in your life and where Jesus is. Moses said it this way back in the Old Testament. He said, God, I don't want to go unless you're there. He said, God, you gave me the greatest answer to my prayer, but God, I don't want to go to that answer unless you're at that answer first. You see, when your life revolves around Jesus, Paul said, when your life is in Christ, that's what it means. Where he goes, I go. If he's not going, then I'm not going because no. And that's what Easter is. The resurrection means that everything I do can be inside of who Jesus is. And everything Jesus does, I can be. See, Galatians 2:20, you don't got to turn up, but Galatians 2:20, give it to me. Put it up there. Bam, Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. What? It means what I want to do, where I want to go is dead. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Look, Jesus died for me. So wouldn't it the least I can do to die for him? Because he rose for me. And if I were to die for him, then he would raise me up just like he did his own body. You see, that's what it's about. It's a life centered around Jesus. See, it's not centered around popularity. It's not centered around people's opinions. It's not centered around, do they like me or do they not like me? Because let's be real. We live that way. Whether or not people like who we are or how we look or where we go. You know, we center our life around the grades we get on our progress. We center our life around whether or not this guy or girl is on my arm. All you got to do is listen to music for long enough and you see what people center their whole life around. But you can't be found in these things. You've got to be found in Jesus. And when their old life dies and you find yourself in him, then all of a sudden you have this love affair with God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden your life, you get up in the morning and your life is charged by something different. It's not dictated on whether or not you got in an argument with your mom last night. All of a sudden when problems come your way, it's a matter of, okay, I got Jesus in me and me and Jesus. And then in Galatians and even in Philippians, it says this. It says, he died. So we don't have to live on our own righteousness, but in faith. See, a new life is based on who Jesus is. He becomes the air we breathe. And then all of a sudden, it becomes based on our faith. You see, before the resurrection, before Jesus was risen, it was a matter of how good are you? How good are you? How many times did you mess up this week? How many of those words did you say? You know those four-letter ones you're not supposed to say? It was based on what you looked at. Your life was based on how much good you did and how much bad you didn't do. That's what the Bible calls the law. And there was a whole grip of laws. Man, the Old Testament says you couldn't even wear polyester, which might actually be a good law. Some people. And some decades. But there were so many rules. And see, right now, because of Easter, because of the resurrection, because of Jesus, your life isn't based on how good you are or not. And I know that's good because some of you guys are pretty bad. But that was a joke. That was a joke, Guppy. Okay, see, our life is based on this thing called faith. And faith is simply trusting in God. Because all of a sudden, our life, all of a sudden, your life's value, how much God likes you, it has no basis in how good we are or are not. It's based on our faith, our trust level with God. You see, it went from living to please God, from being pleased because God loves us. See, it's not just the to do and to don't list. It's about living to be as close as I can to God. There's this verse in 1 John 5:3. If you guys got it, go ahead, take another right turn. 1 John 5:3. I want to read this verse to you. It's a really interesting one. I love it personally. It's because I think it talks about so many things in our life. Not just even our relationship with God, but even our relationship with other people important to our lives. In 1 John 5:3, the Bible says this. It says, "For this is the love of God." Not just Jesus loves us and that t-shirt with the happy face or whatever, and, you know, Jesus is my homeboy, whatever. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. But wait a minute. I thought we said it wasn't about what you're to do and to don't do. Why does it say this is the love of God, to keep his commandments? But this is what it says. This is the love of God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You see that the second part right there is what it's all about. It says, the love of God is to keep his commandments, and then his commandments aren't burdensome. You know, gentlemen, I've noticed that when a guy likes a girl, he will do some pretty stupid things. I mean, have you ever had a friend who really gets into a girl, and all of a sudden it's like, dang, what happened to him? I thought you were a dude. I thought you were a man. And all of a sudden, it's like, all of a sudden, you get this girl, and it's like, you guys start. I mean, you wear matching clothes. Have you ever seen? Does anybody ever done that? Like seriously, I'm not saying that's like not a masculine thing to do. I'm just saying, dudes do some. Look, a dude will spend a lot of money on a girl. Okay, girls do funny things when they like guys. I mean, just saying. And all of a sudden, what things that they would never do alone, they start to do together. And I know that's true because that's the way I live my life. I want a happy marriage. So I do things I do not want to do for my wife. Like dishes. When I was single, I never did dishes. You just scrape off the junk and reuse it. Or whatever. You know what? When you're single, you live on your own, man. You just live by a different code. Or you do this. You wise up and you just get paper plates. Bam! Paper plates. Throw it away. Let the worms do the washing, baby. But when you get all married and stuff, it changes. And that's a good thing. Same thing with God. See, your relationship with God can be, oh gosh, I just don't think, don't do that, don't do that, don't look, oh, I looked. You know, your whole life can be dictated on how much you do or don't sin, or all of a sudden you can change your whole perspective and say, you know what, I love God so much, I'm going to do even the things I don't want to do. Why? Because it pleases him. Because that's the way I live my life. I don't, when I'm doing dishes for my wife, I'm not like, why? She had to put the, she left the, you know, I don't hate my wife. I'm doing the dishes. I do my dishes because I love my wife. I do wild, crazy things because I love her, not because I have to. You see, that's the difference between living in faith and living in the law. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, we went from being a slave to a son. See, a slave does it because he has to. A slave does it because he's forced to, because she is made to. But a son does what, a good son does what they do because they want to, because they want to please. Look, when I was a kid, I liked when my parents were happy with me. I don't know if you're the same way, but I love the fact, I love when I made my dad proud. I loved when I had parent-teacher conferences and my teacher told my mom, I wish I had a whole classroom full of Richards. I thought that'd be really weird, but I thought that's cool. She'd tell my mom all the good stuff. That made me happy that I was a behaved young man in third grade with Miss Odom and Jefferson Hunt Elementary and San Bernardino in the hood. They thank you, my Jefferson Hunt people on Date Street. What's up? All right. Dang. See, I wasn't a slave. I was a son, and I took joy from those things. Every night, my daughter says, Daddy, because I pray with my daughter every night. I put my daughter to bed. My wife puts my son to bed. And she says, Daddy, can you tell me a story? And I'm like, yeah, I'll tell you a story. I said, what kind of story you want to hear? She says, I want to hear a Transformer story. I want to hear, she says, I want, she's, because, you know, we watch Rescue Bots, whatever. She says, oh, Daddy, and most of the time, most nights, she says, Daddy, I want to hear a Jesus story. And I tell her stories about Jesus and the Bible and stuff like that, you know. So, and I tell these stories so she can know what God's like. So let me do this. If you don't mind, I want to wrap everything up because, you know, we got to shut it down. But can I tell you a story? Can I tell you a Jesus story? All right. Well, this is, I'll pretend like you guys are my daughter. But I'm not going to be like all like cutesy and stuff. Whatever. Sorry. That's my daughter. But this Jesus story is about the muddy boys. And this story is about four little boys that were playing in the mud. You see, these two boys had their friends over. And these four boys were playing outside in the mud. You know, there was big mud puddles all over the grass, and they were just making a mess. And all of a sudden, the back door opened up, and the boy's dad popped out and said, "Hey, boys, get ready to come on in. We're gonna have dinner. We're gonna have dinner, and your mom's making everything, and it's gonna get cold, so you need to come in and wash up." So, two of the little boys said, "Oh, okay," and they ran inside. But the other two little boys, they said, "Oh, we're gonna be in there in a little bit. We're gonna be in a little bit. We want to play in the mud some more." So they ran outside, and they were playing in the mud, and they were making mud pies, and they were looking for worms. And they were, you know, they were just being a mess. They were throwing stuff in each other's hair, and they were just splashing in the puddles, and they were just covered head to toe in mud. And all of a sudden, as they were playing, the wind started to pick up. They started getting a little cold. And all of a sudden, the clouds began to roll in. And they looked up, and it looked like it was going to rain. So all of a sudden, they began to shiver. And they looked around. They said, "Oh, we better go inside. It's almost dinner." So they went inside, and they went to the big door. It was a big glass door, and they began to try to open it up, but it was too heavy. They were little boys, so they couldn't open it up. So they tried to open up, and they couldn't. So they started banging on a door, and all of a sudden, there was this loud music on the inside. There was this loud music going on the inside, and they were looking, and so they ran to the window, and they were looking through the window, and they were saying, "What's going on? Why can't they let us?" And they were looking, and all of a sudden, they saw the boys and their father on the couch, and they were eating popcorn. Then the movie, they were watching a movie. The movie had just started, and it was like, and the music was really loud, and all of a sudden, and they were banging on the door, let us in, it's getting cold out here. But they couldn't hear them because the music was so loud, and they were laughing, and they were eating their popcorn. They could look inside, and they saw the dinner table was still full. There was turkey and mashed potatoes and corn and that all the red stuff and all that good thing. And there was this whole spread, and they didn't even clean the dishes up. They just left it out. And then they saw the mom come from the kitchen, and she had like these big ice cream sundaes. And said, "Oh my gosh, what's going on?" Their parents are, "Let us freaking in, man!" But they couldn't hear them. They had finished dinner, and they were watching the movie, and the music was too loud, and their laughter was too loud. So they looked out behind them, and the rain had begun to drizzle. And they looked at all their mess, and the mud pies. Well, they can't eat the mud pies, you know. And they were covered from head to toe in mud. And with the wind, it was just only making them more cold. They looked inside, and they looked at their mess, and they knew, well, like, gosh, they can't hear us, so I guess we have to go home. They put their hands in their pockets, and they walked as fast as they could home, and they left their friends with their family inside the house. You see, God is inviting us in. God's inviting us into this beautiful dinner and this wonderful evening. But the problem is this, is sometimes we get so caught up in our mud and our mud pies. We get so caught up in the fun of the backyard that we forget what God has planned for us inside the house. You see, the father came in and said, "Hey, dinner's almost ready. Hurry up. Let's come in and clean up. Let's take off your muddy clothes and eat some great food." But the little boys didn't want that.
They were so caught up in what they were doing that they forgot about the dinner until it was too late. See, it's not that the Father didn't want them in there, but it's that he said, okay, you guys got to come in now. Don't wait. We have to take off your dirty clothes. And everything the little boys enjoyed outside, as soon as the rain came, it was the very thing they were trying to get rid of. The mud pies, the worms, the muddy mess they had done. You see, when Jesus rose, when Easter came 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was crucified, he invited us in. He said, oh, you guys, it's ready. Everything I have for you, the dinner spread, it's all here. You just need to take off your dirty clothes. Let me wash you up. And you guys can come and enjoy everything I have in here. Yeah, today, this is what God offers. You see, these verses said that God's promises are available in him. In him, by our faith. It's time we let go of our dirty clothes. It's time that we stop living outside and we come inside to where God is. It's not the same. And you can't take your mud inside without God washing you. But it's worth every moment of it. Those little boys waited until it was too late. You need to choose. We all need to choose. Am I ready to give up my old life of mud, dirt, and worms for the fullness of what God has? Dessert, dinner, and a movie. Or, you know, whatever else you like to do. You see, that's what the resurrection is about. It's about God's invitation into something better than we could ever imagine. Don't miss it. Yeah, tonight, you need to know, Jesus is risen. The things that God said is true. And I'll tell you this, anything you give up to live in Christ in faith is worth the loss. If you guys got something out of God tonight, let's give him praise.